You know, one of the age-old traditions of the church is that when someone would declare, "He is risen," the rest of the folks would all respond. That's right. Try it one more time. He is risen. It's so good to see you on this Resurrection Sunday. If you're new today, I want to welcome you. I am Pastor Bert, and I want to thank you for joining us as we celebrate the victory of Jesus today. And the day that he rose from the grave, conquering and freeing people from both sin and death. And we rejoice in the hope of the church that we shall one day be with him forever. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking, when you have victory over sin and freedom from death as your eternal hope, don't you think it should change the way you live? A couple of you agree. I think it should, right? Those who are followers of Jesus should be the most hopeful, the most loving, the most caring, the most patient, the freest people in the world. If we really have this glorious hope as our anchor, there's nothing in this life that should ever get us down, right? That's why we sing songs in church. We sing songs like Happy Day, like Glorious Day, More Than Conquerors, and that old hymn, Victory in Jesus, right? Because he has already won the victory for us. We just need to walk in it. How many of you are living as more than conquerors right now? Okay, that's not a very good showing. People, what's the problem? I think I saw five hands. Don't we believe our own songs? What if I got the band back up here maybe? We could do that. And we could sing Victory in Jesus maybe 22 times. You think that would help pump you up a little bit? I don't know. Folks, living in victory has nothing to do with feeling victorious. Did you hear me? Living in victory has nothing to do with feeling victorious. Our feelings have no bearing on our position. I think most of us have watched a movie or two that tried to depict war in some way, right? And even if it was maybe sometimes over-glamorized or glamortized or whatever the word is, glamorized, right? We get the gist of the emotions that can accompany war. The victorious warriors, think of this, the victorious warriors wandering through a sea of dead bodies, and those dying, and stumbling, suddenly you see them, they stumble upon a familiar figure, maybe a friend, a brother, a son. And the anguish that washes over the survivors. No, not survivors, the victors. They won the war. You see, they may have won the victory, but there would still be no celebration in that moment. There's only sorrow and grief. Feelings are very real and they're powerful, but they have no bearing on our position. The warrior might feel the pain of losing someone, but that doesn't make them any less victorious. In the same way, as a follower of Jesus, sometimes you may not feel very victorious. That has no bearing on your position in Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you trust in him as your Savior, and are letting him lead your life, then you share in his victory. In spite of the circumstances of life, and in spite of your feelings. I think that too often, we allow our disappointments to sour our attitudes. But as we'll see today, we need to take our attention off of our troubles and refocus them on the victory that Jesus has provided for us. through our relationship with him and what he's done with for us, right? Jesus has won for us a victory that I think many in the church either forget about or perhaps take for granted. But it's important for Jesus' followers to remember the victory that is ours through him. And so today we're going to go through a little refresher of what Jesus' resurrection has provided for us. And if you're here or you're watching online, and maybe this is all new to you, the truth is that Jesus' victory is for you too. Jesus didn't just come for a select group of people. He came to bring freedom and victory for everyone who would receive it. The most famous verse in the Bible comes from Jesus, as recorded by his closest friend and follower named John. It said, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. Jesus, the Son of God, tells us that he came into this world to show us God's heart of love for people and restore our relationship with him. And he did that by defeating the three foes in our lives, three foes we have, through his death and resurrection. And the reality is that when we put our faith in him and start living with him and for him, these victories are ours each and every day to live and enjoy now and forever. The first victory that Jesus won and provided for us in your outline is victory over sin. Victory over sin. The early church leader, we know as the Apostle Paul, wrote several letters to the churches that he had started and visited all around the Mediterranean Sea. Right? In his letter to the church in Corinth, Greece, he identifies Jesus' victory over sin when he said, thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. The true enemy of our souls, folks, is not the devil. It is sin. And Jesus triumphed over sin through his death on the cross. And it's through that victory that we have been set free from the mastery, from the control of sin. Paul says it like this to the letter of the church in Rome. He said, sin no longer is your master. Or sin is no longer your master, if you want to get the words in the right order. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. The problem that most people in the world have today, I think, is that we want to be the master of our own destiny, don't we? We don't want anyone telling us what to do, what we can and can't do. But the irony is that Jesus said, we don't really have a choice in the matter. As John recorded, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. I find this is usually where people get their backs up. And they say, wait a minute, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a sinner, right? We usually associate the word sin with the really bad stuff, you know, murderers and those who take our lawnmower from our backyard, right? And don't bring it back. But the word itself actually has a much broader meaning. Sin is an old English word that was used to translate the meaning of the original Greek word, and it simply means to miss the mark. Just to miss the mark. It's an archery term that Paul used in his letter he wrote to the Roman church. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. When we live life our own way, how we want to live it, while ignoring God and what he says is the best for our lives, we fall short of the target. Every time, don't we? We sin. We fall short. And Paul here says that sin is anything that makes us fall short of God's glorious standard. But what's that? We don't want to be slaves to sin. Wouldn't it be good to know what God's standard is then? Of course it would. Well, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that Paul tells us what the standard is that God expects in Paul's letter to the church that was in Philippi, Greece. He said, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So Paul says, God's glorious standard is perfection. That's the bad news. If you do not want to be a slave to sin, then you must be perfect in every way. In your words, your actions, your thoughts, and your attitudes. How have you done so far with that in your life? Yeah, that's what I thought, me too. We all sin. Because it's impossible to be perfect all the time, isn't it? But that's where the real good news comes in. And writing to the church in Ephesus, Greece, Paul says, through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. Before the creation of the world, he chose us through Christ to be a holy and what? Perfect in his presence. Because of his love, he had already decided to adopt us through Jesus Christ. He freely chose to do this so that the kindness he had given us in his dear son would be praised and given glory. Through the blood of his son, we are set free from our sins. Hallelujah. We will never be able to achieve sinless perfection. But the good news is we don't have to. The Bible tells us that through Jesus' sacrifice, we are made perfect and free from the mastery and the penalty of sin in our lives. How does this happen? Well, John's first letter, he says, if we confess our sins to God, he can always be trusted to forgive us and take our sins away. See, confession is more than just saying you're sorry. It's agreeing with God that you are, in fact, a sinner who can never measure up to his glorious standard of sinless perfection. But it's also confessing that you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way for you to receive that sinless perfection. It's like Paul says to the Roman church. He says, if you believe deep in your heart that God raised Jesus from the pit of death, and if you voice your allegiance by confessing the truth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. Belief begins in the heart and leads to a life that's right with God. Confession departs from our lips and brings eternal salvation. It is no doubt the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. It will determine how you will live, how you'll deal with your past and face your future. And it'll determine where you spend eternity, either with God or apart from him in all his goodness forever. Not making any decision is not an option. Procrastinating, ignoring the implications of the decision only solidifies sin's hold on your life. Only you can decide who will be the master of your life, God or sin. You have to choose whether you want sin to continue to rule your life and suffer its penalty of eternal death, whether you want to live forever in the freedom of Jesus' victory over sin. It's your choice. But if you want to choose Jesus today, at the end of this talk, I'm going to help you do just that. But we still have two more victories to look at, don't we? The second is Jesus' victory over the world. John recorded Jesus telling his followers, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I've conquered the world. See, one of the problems that I've seen people have is that when they put their faith in Jesus to save them from sin, they think that life should be a bed of roses from that point forth, right? But folks, life is still life. And even though as followers of Jesus, we're free from sin's control over us, we still live in a world that's broken by sin. And that means troubles, that means sorrows will still happen. Again, in his letter to the Romans, Paul says, no matter what comes, we will always taste victory through him who loved us. No matter what comes. What's Paul referring to here? Well, if you actually look at what he's talking about right before the statement, Paul had been identifying things like trouble, calamity, persecution, hunger, destitution, danger, even death. No matter what comes. So Paul says that even though bad things will still happen in our lives, they don't control us. And they can't steal our freedom. They can't take our victory. Because just as Jesus overcame, he will help us to overcome as well. But as I said, we want to jump right into the good stuff, don't we? Without having to experience anything bad. Folks, have we forgotten that Good Friday comes before Easter Sunday? Jesus had to die before he rose again. He had to suffer before he won the victory. One of the biggest lies we need to overcome is that life will be easy for the follower of Jesus. He didn't die so we could live an easy life. He died so we could live a victorious life. And victory is never achieved apart from battle. Freedom only comes through sacrifice. So like Jesus, you need to look past the temporal pain to the ultimate gain that awaits you on the other side. How do you do that? Well, the writer to the Hebrew church explains it like this. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. Jesus was able to overcome the world because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. And we can overcome the world the same way by focusing our hearts on Jesus and the joy of knowing that we belong to him and we'll be with him forever. And when we do, Jesus helps us through whatever the world tries to throw at us. And we experience the true freedom of living in his victory, in spite of the troubles that we face, because we trust him to guide us through this life and into the life to come. Which brings us to our final victory in Jesus, and that is victory over death. Victory over death. Folks, this is no smoke and mirrors show, okay? We know that each of us will one day pass away should the Lord continue to delay his return. This isn't about never dying. It's about death not having the last laugh. As Jesus rose from the dead, he says that we too shall rise from death. Listen to what he declared right before raising someone who'd been dead for 4 days. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Did he catch that? Even after dying? The victory Jesus won for us isn't over our physical death, but spiritual death. Simply put, death is separation. When we die physically, our spirit separates from our body, and we go to be with Jesus if we trust in him as our Savior. But if we reject the relationship that Jesus offers, then our spirit is eternally separated from him. That's the eternal death that he came to save us from. That's why Paul mockingly writes, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" You know, I don't care what the survey says. Mankind's greatest fear is death, not public speaking. I think they need to do their surveys in hospitals, not college campuses. But as Paul is alluding to in this text, for the follower of Jesus, death has no sting. For we know it's only a doorway into eternity with him. As well, Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthian church, yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Paul says for followers of Jesus, it's far, far better to be with him in heaven. Why? Because we've already looked at it, right? As long as we live in these mortal bodies, we still suffer the physical effects of sin in this world. But in heaven, in God's presence, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Because of Jesus' victory over sin and death, all the pain and sorrow they brought into this world will be gone forever. Hallelujah. We will finally be free from it all. Aren't you glad? Folks, this is what Easter is all about. This is Jesus' victory. And he invites you to be a part of his victory parade, his triumphal procession into heaven. But it's only for those who trust him and trust in his victory over sin and follow him and his ways both now and forever. And if you would like to do that today, as I said earlier, I want to help you by leading you a short prayer to God right now. You can just follow along silently with me in your heart, and God will hear you because he already knows what's in your heart. And as we bow our heads together, just pray along with me. Dear God, thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to restore my relationship with you. I accept your invitation of a new life and the hope of eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing me God's love and coming and dying for me. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I do believe that you died, rose again, showing that as God, you alone have power over life and death. And that same power is able to save me and help me to live for you forever. Thank you. Thank you for defeating sin. Thank you for defeating this world. And thank you for defeating death. Please help me to start living in the freedom of your victory from now on, so I can live my best life ever by living your way, sharing the hope I found in you. In Jesus' day, I pray this. Amen. Amen. As musicians come back, if you did give your life to Jesus today, prayed that prayer for the first time, please let me know before you leave. I'd love to connect with you, and I do have some information as well, some resources for you, but if you don't have time, you can fill in one of those Connect cards. If you're online, please fill in the Connect cards link to the video, and we'll get those out to you. I also want to encourage you, come back, because over the next few weeks, we're going to be discovering the different ways that Jesus' victory can set us free from our hurts, our hang-ups, and our bad habits. It'll be based upon the Celebrate Recovery program. We're going to look at freedom from anger, freedom from addictions, freedom from debt, and a few other freedoms that we need in our lives, don't we? So you won't want to miss that. So I hope you'll join us again. And keep coming back to find out all that the freedom that God's victory, Jesus' victory, has won for us.